Right, podcast time, let's do this. Today on CookieCast, it's just me. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the first solo podcast. This one's going to probably also be a special, because the specials are getting interesting results. People are digging them, I think. So, give you a little rundown of what we're doing today. In just over a week, it'll be probably about a week at the point I upload this, I'm going to go and see the band Machine Head. Very excited. Can't wait to see them. It's been a little while. And Machine Head are doing a tour of the UK, and this is off the back of a recent album, which I believe was released in January this year. So I've had a little bit of time to listen to it and digest it. I've had it in the car, sort of blaring out. So basically, short version is I am going to do a review of the new album. And then me and James Keep are going to go and see Machine Head live in Manchester. And we'll come back and then we will review the gig. So this is like a preview review special of Machine Head's latest album. And then in a couple of weeks' time, there'll be a review of the gig that we go to. So that's that. So basically, there's going to be a review of the latest album. But I'm basically going to give a bit of a rundown of my experience with Machine Head as a band, going all the way back to the early 90s. Their albums up till this point in time, and I'm going to do like a little review of each of those, and then, like I say, I'll finish up with a review of the current album, and then in a couple of weeks' time we'll hear what me and James thought to the gig. So, tiny little bit of background. If I'm honest, this is information that I gathered off the internet. But Machine Head are an American band. They are from Oakland, California. So almost definitely huge Raiders fans. They started out in October of 1991, October 12th, 1991, and it was the band was started by Rob Flint and the bassist Adam Deuce, and they were the two original members, and Rob Flint is the only surviving member of the band at this point in time, because of various people leaving and joining, and you know, as bands do these days. But Rob Flint, the lead singer and guitarist, is still there, still holding down the fort. So it's one of those things. They're an American band that, obviously, being in England and being quite young, there was only various sort of different ways that I got hold of music. A lot of that was through a mate of mine. And basically it was kind of, I can't say that it was in the 1991 area. I feel it was probably more 92, possibly even later than that. A mate of mine, my mate Ollie, who sort of introduced me to a lot of my music at that time, was like, oh my god, heard this amazing band, they're awesome, you've got to listen to their first album, it's brilliant, you've got to listen to this band, they're awesome, and he played me Machine Head's first album, called Burn My Eyes, and at that point in time, I was coming off the back of, I suppose it was like hard rock, and this was at the start of the 90s metal craze. I will talk about what that metal craze became known as, but it's something that I struggle with, so I'll come to that later. So I was coming off the back of hard rock, you know, your Guns N' Roses, your Aerosmith, stuff like this. And I was being presented with heavy metal, which was awesome, but initially, some of it was a little bit intense, and if I'm honest, listening to Machine Head, their first album, which is brutal, It took a little bit of getting used to, if I'm honest. It was kind of slow going for me. It was like I didn't know what I was hearing, and I didn't know this type of music so well, because it was new. It was a new form of music, very heavy, very brutal. That first album is just weirdly, not that long ago, I actually listened to that album again, and very loud, and it's one that will, you know, given the chance, it'll shake your teeth loose if you listen to it at the right volume. It's a brutal album. If anybody who's listening to this hasn't heard it, as it is their first album and a great album, it still stands up today, do give it a listen. It's heavy. It's brutal. So as time went on, I sort of adjusted, but initially I really struggled with listening to that album the first few times because it, for want of a better way of putting it, it was almost like it was too heavy for me. It was like, whoa, this is brutal. But it had some great, I've said for years that there was two guys in the metal scene at that time, Rob Flint and Max Cavalera, who really did, sort of define the raw, and I don't mean, like raw as in raw saw, I mean raw as in that kind of singing and really sort of, yeah, I mean, Max Cavalera, like, Sepultura, and then went on to do Soulfly, and that music's just like, that singing is a particular style, and him and Rob Flint just really nailed that music, and they were known for that. So Machine Head, from that time, from reading on the internet, and something I found quite interesting is that Machine Head were massive in Europe before they were big in America, which strikes me as a really interesting thing. But, you know, cool for us, sort of thing. One of the things that really stood out at that time was, you know, we were reading like Krang magazine and Metal Hammer and stuff, just trying to get as much information as we could about music at that time. The music that we wanted to listen to, the music we were into. The guitarist for Machine Head at that time was a guy called Logan Madder. And he had the most amazing tattoo. He had his entire chest tattooed. And I think it had its name. It was like the Melting Rib Cage. And it looked like whatever was like inside his rib cage was like tearing its way through, and like the skin was like melting away and stuff, and it was awesome. I still talk about that tattoo now. I think, you know, as far as tattoos go, that is a legendary tattoo. It still stands up today, and I saw this, like I say, back in the 90s, and I will still reference that tattoo today. So I started getting into Machine Head. It took me a while. It was, you know, like I've said, it was tough going for me because I was just getting into this form of music, you know, around about the time Machine Head, Sepultura, Fear Factory were a great band, but it did take me a little bit of time to sort of find the groove with these bands. I remember, I've got a couple of Machine Head stories, and then I've got a couple of other Machine Head stories. So we had a dress down day at school, which were in those days few and far between. I believe it's a more common thing now, but a dress down day, and it's that one opportunity as a teenager to really show everyone else who you really are when you're not dressed in your uniform. And it was this huge thing, you know, which pair of jeans do you wear, and which, you know, what do your trainers look like, and big thing was, what t-shirt are you going to wear? And I don't actually remember what t-shirt I wore that day. But I do remember that I'd been sort of asking my mate Ollie. I was like, oh, you know, he had all these sort of long sleeve t-shirts, that they were great because they had a front print and a back print and print on the sleeves. And it was just like, oh man, you know, they were great. They were the coveted kind of t-shirt at that time. And he had a couple of Machine Head t-shirts, and he was like, oh, I think I'm going to wear this one. And I was like, oh, can I wear the other one? He was like, yeah, sure. You know, and I'm pretty sure the one that I wore had one of the slogans from, a song on Machinehead's first album, which is just, there's a point where the song pauses and Rob Flint just screams, "Let freedom ring with a shotgun blast." And that was the back print of this long sleeve top. And it was just like, yeah, walking around school wearing that, I was going to be the coolest guy there. At the time, that's what I thought. And I think looking back, I was like, oh man, can you believe thinking that as a child? But then sitting here now, I'm like, no, that is freaking awesome to be able to wear that in school. And nobody said anything because it was dress down day and you could wear what you want. So no, I fully expected a teacher to be like, oh, you can't wear that. And nothing. We walked around all day wearing these tops and it was great. And it really showed who we were, supposedly. So that was one of the times that one of my Machinehead stories. Another one was, and this is quite a painful story. Me and Ollie got tickets to go and see Machinehead. We were teenagers, I think about 15, 16, one of those times where we were actually being allowed to go to a gig on our own. You know, heavy metal is synonymous with the belief that you're going to go and you're going to die. Whereas anybody who's ever been to a heavy metal gig, you know, everyone's there for the same reason. They are there because they love that music and they just want to have a good time. And don't get me wrong, I've seen some fairly brutal things at a series of gigs. But it's not, certainly not the sort I go to. It's not riots breaking out and things like that. It's just a big collection of people who love music and they're all there for the same reason and they want to have a good time. But it was a big thing for two 15, 16-year-olds to be allowed to go to a gig that was heavy metal on their own. We'd previously gone to gigs, but we needed parental company. I think they're chaperones these days, but, you know, it was like, oh, just have to take a parent and stuff. So we have the tickets, we receive the tickets, we have the t-shirts on, we have the attitude to go and do it. We jumped in my mum's car, super excited. I mean, you know, we're teenagers going to see a band that we loved and we were like, yeah, we're going to go see it. And I don't know how many people, who live in York, are listening to this, and how many people that live in York don't live in York are listening to this. However, bear in mind, we set off from, for those of you who live in New York, Fulford, and we managed to get to the Designer Outlet. So that is down the road from where we set off before my mum's car broke down. And that was the end of that journey. And we looked at the time and realised that even if we could have got a taxi at 6 o'clock on a Friday evening to get over to the station, to jump on a train, to get the hour and a half journey across to Manchester, to get to the gig, we would have basically missed the majority of the gig. And it was soul crushing to watch that happen because we had to stay with the car. We had to be there to do that side of things. But all we wanted to do was get to that gig. And I mean, bear in mind, this was, you know, 95, 96. The mobile phones were not, certainly not for teenagers at that point. You know, it was a good few years before mobile phones were really around for people that didn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, businessmen had mobile phones, not 16-year-old kids. So we couldn't call anybody. We couldn't get someone to come and pick us up who would then take us to Manchester. It was over and we had to live with that. And that is something that I still think about now, and I still have to deal with that soul-crushing memory of not making it to see that band. So that's another Machinehead story there for you. So you've got Machinehead's first album, and it is phenomenal. I do think you should go and listen to it. Machinehead then released a second album, which is called The More Things Change. Now, if I'm honest, not my favourite Machinehead album. It's got some good tracks on it, but if I'm honest, it just never really stood out to me as their best or a good, or it's a good album, don't get me wrong, but even then when it was released, I was like, it's okay. But I will say this, the track 10 Ton Hammer makes that entire album. That one track is enough for that entire album. It is brilliant. It's a brutal song. And again, if anybody who hasn't listened to Machine Head who wants to get into them, give the album a listen, Morphin's Change. It's a good album, but it's not my favourite, let's put it that way. But 10 Ton Hammer is a brilliant song. The two albums in, going well, everything's great. A little bit further down the line, a few years later, I should have probably got the years of these releases, because like I say, I did go on the internet to get this information, so forgive me for not giving the exact years, but I'm trying to give more of a this is my experience. Machine Head released an album, and that album was called The Burning Red. And I still remember that album, the CD, the cover and the box, because the box was red and the front cover was red. And it had one of the Inkbot pictures and it was Machine Head Burning Red. That album is out of this world. It's unworldly. It is an amazing album. It's like nothing we had ever heard up to that point in time. And if I'm honest, even since then, there's not really been anything like it. Machine Head certainly haven't done anything like it. It was just... I've often thought that words cannot truly describe that album because it's just amazing. Great album. Superb album. Again, you know, if you're listening to this and you haven't heard Machine Head, you know, that's a good album to listen to. Certainly one I would recommend. I must remember, because I've got another Machine Head story, but on my list of stuff, it's starting to disappear, so I need to remember. Remind me to say Metallica. Not that you can do that. Burning Red came out. Memories of sitting in my mate Ollie's bedroom in the flat he lived in. Which was just this massive house and he had the top floor and listening to the Burning Red album over and over and over, that and Korn's album Issues, and just not, there was a part of me that my brain couldn't compute the music that came off that album. It was just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing, fantastic album. So again, a few years later, one thing you got to say for Machine Head, they do like to release music, which is always good for somebody who is a fan of their music. A few years later, they released an album called Supercharger. Now then, Supercharger was not very well received, to my knowledge. An album that I struggled with, because it was, again, another example of Machine Head doing something different. And when you do something different as a band, you put a CD on for the first time, you expect what you're going to hear to be similar to what you've heard before. And when it isn't, it throws your brain for a bit of a loop. And you're like, well, what am I hearing here? What am I listening to? I don't know how to process this because I had an expectation. And, you know, it certainly wasn't The Burning Red. But it certainly wasn't the albums that came before it. It was very light. It was, a lot of people refer to it as very commercial, which for a metal band at that time, not a thing. It wasn't about being commercial. Now I have this thing where there's certain albums I say to people, if an album gets mentioned, I'll be like, that's a great summer album. And I think what I mean by that is if you're, you know, for me, one of my favourite things is being in the summer, getting the stereo on, getting the windows down in the car, stereo on, get that music turned right up, windows down, driving along. Brilliant. I mean, I've not been driving long, but even when I was a passenger, that was one of my favourite things. Windows down, music up was always my slogan. So you've got the sun, You've got the wind, you've got the windows down, you've got the music up. That to me is when you want a great summer album. Something that's light, it's bouncy, it's really, it makes you want to dance, but, you know, being a metal fan, there's not a lot you can sort of quote unquote dance to, even though you can dance to metal. So there are certain albums that I'm like, great summer album. Supercharger by Machine Head is a great summer album. I really enjoy that album. It's an album that I listened to at the time when it's not the best album. It's very commercial. It's very bouncy, but you know. And then I didn't listen to it for a while, and then I came back to it and listened to it again, and was like, actually, you know, it's not too bad. It's okay. You've got to be in the mood for it. And then again, I didn't listen to it for a while, and then again, I listened to it. And what I can say is, a few months ago, I found Supercharger in my CD case in the car, and I put it into the CD player. And I went, it's a great album. It's a good album. It's one that over time, I still think it's a good album. That CD lived in my CD player. I'm going to say it must have been about 4 months. It just went round and round and round and round. And I just listened to it, and I never got bored of it. And I only actually took that CD out of my CD player because I think other people were getting bored of it, because I'd just been like listening to it and didn't care. So like, I'm looking out the window now. It is a blue sky. There is not a single cloud. The sun's out. It's a beautiful day. And all I can think talking now about that album is this is a great situation to put that album on. If you're having a barbecue, get Supercharger on. If you're going for a road trip in the summer, get Supercharger on. You'll thank me for it. It's a great album. It's a really good summer album. So that's Supercharger. Again, a little bit further down the line, we get an album which is Through the Ashes of Empires. Now, this is what I would refer to as a good, solid album. A good, solid album. It's got everything you want. You know, you've not heard any Machine Head for a little while. You want some Machine Head. You've listened to Supercharger. What do you want? You want metal. And it delivers. It gives you a metal album. And it's just like, oh, yeah, good album. Solid Machine Head album. It's that thing. There's a few albums. It's like this album and the next two albums, I'm just like, these are solid albums. There is nothing wrong with these albums. Great to listen to. If you want some metal, bang these guys on. But other than that, not a lot more I can say. They're great albums. You know, if you said to me, give it a number out of 10, I'm coming in 8, 8.5. They're great albums. Say more about it. I don't know what more I need to say. It's a good, solid album. Takes us up to a few years later when we get an album called The Blackening, which I had a conversation with somebody the other day where they were like, oh, you know, The Blackening's probably the best album that Machine Head did. And it's like, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't know if I agree, because I have my opinions about Machine Head as a band. But again, another great solid album. I'm looking at my show notes here, and it literally says Through the Ashes of Empires in brackets, great solid album, and then it says The Blackening in brackets, another great solid album. Brilliant albums, back-to-back successes in my eyes. Now at this point, Machine had been going for a long time. You know, you look back at the bands that were around in the 90s and ask if they're still going now and still releasing at this rate. There's very few. I think Machine Head stands out to me as one of the only bands that is still going from that time. And then you've got to take your hat off to them, because if you can do something and do it well enough to keep doing it for all this time, well done. I take my hat off. I salute you. So that's The Blackening, and as I might have mentioned, it's another good solid album. So here we go. The next release by Machine Head, again, a few years later, a couple of years later, not 100% sure of the release schedule on this. This is an album called Onto the Locust, and this album is awesome. I, on some days, think that this could be the best Machine Head album, in my opinion. Some people would argue with that, probably a lot. But for me, I think that there are days when I would say, you know something, I think that's the best Machine Head album. It starts out brutal and just keeps going. It just keeps going. It's, you know, these three albums, if you don't want to jump in at the beginning, if you want something a little more current, Through the Ashes of Empires, The Blackening, Onto the Locust, three albums that you cannot go wrong with. If you're looking for something that's metal, look no further than these albums. When I go and get tattooed, depending which way I'm facing, I'm often looking at a vinyl of Onto the Locust in a frame, and I always look at it and think, nice, that's awesome. So Machine Head are doing really well at this point. They've mixed it up, you know, from their first couple of albums to their third album to their fourth album. They were really mixing it up, and then they just delivered some really solid metal. At this point in time, I'm there going, okay, I've been a Machine Head fan for 20 years or something at that point in time, and I'm like, you know something, I think there are bands out there that you, if you are still listening to them 20 years down the line, you should honour that. Now, a good few years ago, I got a Metallica tattoo. It's not often on display unless I've got shorts on, because it's on my ankle, and there was a series of reasons to get that tattoo, one of them being is that Metallica are hands down my favourite band. Take from that what you will. They're awesome. And at that point in time, I went, you know what? I'm going to honour every aspect of what that band has done for me throughout my life, from being 11 years old, listening to the Black Album and being like, what is this? To the discovery of the albums that came before the Black Album, to everything that's come since, the ups and downs, let's say, of whatever's come since, and the fact that I believe Metallica have come round, you know, they're a bit John Rambo, they've come full circle to back to producing great music. And at that point, I was like, I'm going to do it. I've said, you know, once you get to a certain point in time, you've got to get the tattoo done to honour something that means a lot to you, and I'm all about that. So I have a Metallica tattoo, and at no point have I ever regretted it. In fact, last week I was in a bar talking to James Keep's brother. Big shout out to Ben Keep. We were sat, I looked over and I'm like, oh, man, he's rocking a Metallica tattoo on his forearm, and it's one part of the what goes up to make my tattoo. It's awesome. At one point he mentioned his tattoo. I had to get mine out at that point in time. There was a fist bump. It was a really manly moment in time. And then, you know, it erupted into Metallica awesomeness. So, at this point in time, I'm like, you know what? I think I might get a Machine Head tattoo. Because, like I say, all the other bands have died off by this point. You know, where's Fear Factory now? Cold Chamber turned into Devil Driver. Double Driver got a new album coming out, apparently. Your Korn, they just, you know, they went a little off the rails, let's say. Do we talk about Limp Bizkit at this point in time? I don't think so. These bands that I love died off, and the fact that Machine Head was still going and producing at that point in time, you know, up to Onto the Locust, I was like, this band are just phenomenal, and I think it might be time to do the Machine Head tattoo. And I had a brief conversation with my tattooist, G, and I was like, thinking of Machine Head tattoo. And he was like, and we had a bit of a chat, and then that was that. So, then Machine Head released another album. And I really thought this album was called something else. It was when I looked it up online today, I was like, that's not what that album's called. Okay. So apparently this album is called Bloodstone and Diamonds. And I really, I remember at the time that there was something about pirates. I don't know if it was the front cover. I don't know if somebody, I'd read something that was saying that they'd gone for a pirate theme. I don't know. There was something about pirates. That's all I remember. So I'm like, ooh, new Machine Head album. Bring it to me. Let me listen to it. Which I did. And here's where the story takes a little turn, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, I can do my Metallica story. Right, hold that thought. Bloodstone and Diamonds. I'll come back to it. So, I saw Machine Head. I finally saw them. So, how cool is this? Metallica coming to England to do the Death Magnetic Tour, and I found out, oh, who's supporting Metallica on the Death Magnetic Tour? That's right, it's only Machine Head. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to finally get to see Metallica again. Exceptional. Supported by Machine Head. This couldn't get any better. So tickets were purchased, as I'm sure you can imagine. It's not like I saw them twice in 2 days or anything. Oh no, that's right, yeah, I did. Twice in 2 days, yeah. So, went to see Metallica, but double bonus, Machine Head support act. Unfortunately for me, unfortunately for Machine Head, I don't know who, but unfortunately, Machine Head are not an arena band, and Metallica are. Machine Head sound doesn't work in an arena. So Machine Head are like, I don't know how to describe it, like a mid-range. It's not like a small club, not like 200 people. We're talking more like, you know, a few thousand people. Certainly not 30,000. They're not an arena band. They're a venue band, what I would call a venue band. You go to a place, it's big enough to get a few thousand people in, and they will blow the roof off that place. But you put them in an arena, and the point was, we just couldn't hear them. We couldn't hear the singing. We could barely hear the music. On one of the occasions, we were up in the nosebleeds. So it was even harder to hear them. And I was like, wow, you know, great to hear you. But if I'm honest, guys, not sure which song you're singing right now. So this is why when I go to see them in a couple of weeks, I'm off to, I think it's Manchester Apollo, which is a great venue. And I'm seeing, so that's the sort of venue you should see Machine Head in. It should be enclosed. It should be a few thousand people, and they will blow the roof off that place. Can't wait, might have mentioned. So, yeah, finally got to see Machine Head, but it was disappointing. But then, you know, followed by Metallica, who were awesome. Okay, so, right, back to Bloodstone and Diamonds, the pirate album, as I refer it to. I can't lie to you. I can't lie. I really tried with that album. I just couldn't get on with it. There was nothing redeeming about that album. I really, really struggled. And unfortunately, it falls into the category for me of it's unlistenable. Is that a word? I just found that I couldn't listen to it. I couldn't bring myself. I know, don't get me wrong, I really tried. I kept putting it on, getting to the end going, well, that was not good. And then I'd put it on again. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I listened to it wrong. You know, maybe my ears are broken. Maybe I'm too old. Give me something, guys. My excuses are running out here. That album is not a good album. So my recommendation, if you are not into Machine Head and you want to get into Machine Head, don't start with that album, because, it's not good. I listened to it a good few times. I gave it a break. I tried it again. The answer is no, I'm afraid. That's not a good album. And I'm sorry, because I know that going for, well, what was it, 1991, and we're 2018, you know, oh, that's a lot of years. And to still be producing music, to still get enough songs to release an album, I've got the creative ability of a tablespoon. I am not creative. I couldn't write one song if you gave me 1,000 years, let alone enough to produce 10 songs to put on an album, to release an album, to 2 years later do it again. I'm not criticizing. But I'm just saying, I understand the difficulties that must come with having to produce something to stay relevant, to keep churning out that music. But I couldn't do it. That album, I just couldn't. And in the end, I had to let it go. And I've not listened to it since. And sitting here now, I'm like, maybe I should listen to it again. Maybe I'll be putting an apology on this podcast going, hey guys, I listened to that album again and it's great. But don't hold your breath, because I don't think that's going to happen. So that is Bloodstone and Diamonds. And unfortunately, because of that, I never actually pursued the Machine Head tattoo. And this is a man who in the last week has had another tattoo done that has a band related to that tattoo. So it's not like I'm not getting any more band tattoos. I've had another one in the last week. So unfortunately, and this might sound fickle, I don't know, but that album stopped me getting that tattoo. And who knows, I might just get it at some point in time. Who knows? So, that brings us up to current, and the current album. I'll tell you the story. I'm in HMV, I'm looking through vinyl, turns in the metal section, first album I see. Oh my word, new Machine Head album. Didn't know this was a thing. Very excited, nearly bought it on vinyl, went, hang on a minute. I remember the last one, and the last one, if I bought that on vinyl, I'd be crying right now. Let's hold fire. Let's get it on CD, listen to it, and make a decision whether we need it on vinyl. So that's what I did. I got it on CD, stuck it in the car. Best place to listen to music in my world. Stuck it in the car, listened to the album, went, okay. Great start, that album. That album's got a great start. Brutal Machina sound. Brilliant. Second track. Did I say it's called Catharsis? And there's a track on it called Catharsis, which is really good. So I'm listening to it. I'm like, yeah, liking this. Machina, you've done it again. Well done, boys. You've redeemed yourself. Maybe I should get that tattoo. However, that album is 60%. That might be a little low. It might be 70, or it might even be 80%. A good album. Here we go again. Good, solid Machine Head album. The rest, however, isn't. So, as I mentioned earlier, Machine Head from America. California. Not Ireland. There is a song on the new Machine Head album that sounds like an Irish jig. It is very confusing to listen to a band that you know is from America doing what is essentially an Irish jig. I don't know what to tell you about that. That is the information I can give you right there and then. There's too much softly, too much slow. There's too much. Let's do yet another ballad. Some bands do ballads and they do them really well. Machine Head is not one of those bands, I'm afraid, especially not on this album. Because thinking about it, they've done a couple of slow numbers. They've even done like acoustic versions of songs, and they're really good. But they've fallen short of the mark on this album, I'm afraid. There is a song on this album that drives me up the wall. Offhand, I don't know the name of it, but I know which track it is, I can tell you that much. Track 11 of 15 is a song that for the first 1 minute and 50 seconds-ish, it's silent. This song is over 8 minutes long. Here's an idea. Let's make it a 6-minute song and cut off all the silence at the beginning. I have to fast forward through that track. it's got to the point now that I don't even fast forward it. I just skip it to save myself the heartache. Basically, it's got to the stage now. I've listened to this album a lot, and it's on repeat, and I just listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. It's got to the point now that I skip a large number of the tracks. So when the last track comes on, I know that the first track is awesome, and the last track is a bit lackluster. So I skip the last track. After a while, it'll be on, and I'll be like, oh, it's the last track. Skip to the first, turn it up, because it's the first album you need it turned up. First song you need turned up. So you get halfway through the album, and it's like, this is great. It's good machine and music. Loving it. And then it just... there's just songs that's like, you're a metal band. You're Machine Head. Play Machine Head. Don't play soft music. Don't play Irish jigs. Don't play Silence. Again, going back to the last album and this one, it must be difficult to do the creative thing, to produce music consistently for many years. I get it. But you're Machine Head. Do Machine Head. Do a quiet number. Do a soft number. If you've done 15 tracks, 13 should be Machine Head, Brutal Metal, and a couple of tracks, nice and light and soft. A little palate cleanser, maybe. As long as they're good, great. So, again, I don't want to criticise. You know, you should create, not criticise. But this is a review of the Machine Head's latest album. So, you know, what are you going to do? Short version. Somebody said to me, give it a score out of 10. Certain days, it's getting a 6. Worst part is, if you took the first half of that album, it'd probably get more like an 8. So, it loses points for the rest. It's a shame, it really is. I'm looking at what I've written here about like a closer for this. And if I'm honest, I'm looking at it now and I don't agree with what I wrote earlier today. Because I've said it's sad to see bands that have done so well for so long really struggle. It's going to be a struggle. As a band as a whole, I still love them. They're still a great band. They've still got an amazing back catalogue. If you're not a Machine Head fan, go and pick up that first album and listen to that. Get those three albums in the middle. You know, it's summer. Listen to Supercharger. Knock yourself out. Listen to the new album. See what you think of that. I don't know. You know. But for me, I don't know. I'm a little sad by it because it certainly the first half has that potential to be a great album or a good album, a good solid album, and then it just falls short by the end, which is a shame. However, saying all of that, I am still super excited to go and see Machine Head in a great venue. They're going to be awesome, I hope. I don't mean that. I mean, like, you know, unless some natural disaster means that they don't turn up. I imagine they are going to be awesome to see live in that sort of venue. I imagine they'll do some tracks from the new album, but to be fair, if they do the first couple of tracks, then that's great. And they've got such an extensive back catalogue that they could just do 2 or 3 tracks off the new album and then just play the old stuff and, you know, great. It's going to be a fantastic gig. So that's kind of that. Basically, that's my review of the album. It's probably a 6 out of 10, I'm afraid. But I understand that still going this far down the line, good on them. Keep going. Keep at it. Brilliant. Like I say, I'm going to go. It'll be, by the time this is uploaded, it'll be a week. So at this point in time, it's just over a week until I go and see them. I am very excited. I might have mentioned. And then after we've been, I think me and James are both going to do another podcast special where we review the gig. So yeah, that is my review of, Machine Head's latest album, Catharsis. That is my story of Machine Head, me and Machine Head, and my life with Machine Head, whichever way you want to look at it. A little bit of their history, very small amount of their history, more about the music that they released. And yeah, hoping for a great gig. I hope you tune in to hear our review of that gig. So yeah, until then, I'm going to say bye-bye. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think to that one? Me on my own. Might do another one at some point. Don't know. Check out the website, cookiecast.com, and send us a little email or a tweet or Facebook or something. Tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. What you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. So yeah, that's it for now. Join us again on another exciting episode of Cookiecast. But until then, bye-bye.